Gaza after Israel invades and ousts Hamas, then who governs? How do you establish stability? How do you guarantee the right for those Palestinians to return to their homes?
There are growing fears that Israel will have to defend its northern border against attack, says CBS's Roxana Saberi.
Hezbollah claims it fired anti-tank missiles from Lebanon into northern Israel after Israel said it killed four militants trying to plant explosives on a border wall. The cross-border clashes are fueling fears that Iran-backed Hezbollah could escalate the conflict by opening a second front against Israel. CBS News has witnessed Israel's military reinforcing its northern frontier.
Police in Fremont County, Colorado, say they've recovered more improperly stored bodies from a funeral home. More on that from CBS News Colorado reporter Michael Spencer.
The number of bodies found at the Return to Nature funeral home has now risen from 115 to 189. Teams removed at least that many bodies and moved them to the El Paso County Coroner's Office. Now, this happened in Penrose near Colorado Springs. The Fremont County Sheriff says the number of bodies could change as the investigation continues.
Actor Alec Baldwin could be charged again in a deadly shooting on a movie set, says CBS's Matt Piper.
Authorities say the case against the actor will be brought before a grand jury next month. It was Baldwin's gun that shot and killed Helena Hutchins on the set in Santa Fe in October 2021. Prosecutors dismissed charges against him in April, but pivoted after receiving a new analysis of the gun that was used.
Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett says she thinks the high court should adopt a formal code of conduct. She spoke at the University of Minnesota Law School.
All nine justices, and we're in agreement about what to do, and that we want to continue to follow the highest ethical standards.
But Justice Barrett declined to estimate how long it might take the court to reach a consensus about what its ethics code should be made up of. Actress Jada Pinkett Smith says she feels like a weight has been lifted from her shoulders after she revealed that she and husband Will Smith have been separated for 7 years. In her new book, she tells about her complicated marriage, her unconventional parenting style, and her experience with depression, and she gives her perspective on Will's infamous slap of Chris Rock. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. You may be aware that online crime is a huge threat, but did you know this problem could be a great career opportunity for you? Cybersecurity experts are in high demand and well-paid. You can position yourself for this specialty in months, not years, at My Computer Career, even with no prior IT experience. Learn how you can train for this rewarding career at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill.
You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your name? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker, and each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba!
Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country.
Winona!
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only 1 in 3 Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 39 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Now at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council. Belongingbeginswithus.org.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Tuesday, October 17th. Greg Bach is on the board and my Tuesday co-host, from Devil's Advocates Radio. You can hear them across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 4 to 6. Dominic Salvia. And I have to encourage people to watch us on the live stream. You can either do it on YouTube or Twitter. We dance, we sing, I have my eye rolls, and you can also see Dominic's very fancy backdrop this morning.
He looks like he is rowing across the lake.
What?
I have a fancy schmancy
great
man.
Green screen here at the Milwaukee Hidden Studio. Good to be with you, Jane, as always. Great, good to see you, man. Thanks.
Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, I just want to tell folks, next month, November 5th, we will be falling back. Daylight saving time will come to an end. And the Sunshine Protection Act never got anywhere last year, but I want to know how people feel about it, because I have very strong opinions.
Oh,
you do?
I know.
It's weird how that works. Really, shocking. Jane's got strong opinions.
Yeah, I know. It's going to shock you, but we want to get your take on daylight saving time. Should we keep it? Should it go away? What should we do? Should we just turn the lights off forever? That is coming up at 11 o'clock. 10:30, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us. And then at 11:30, we have a special guest. There's a women's conference happening in Milwaukee this weekend. Rachel O'Leary Carmona will be joining us at 11:30 to talk about the women's conference and what you can expect if you're going to be going to that. Maybe, you know, you would consider going if you learn a little bit more about it. But we are going to start things off, Dominic, and you and I connected by phone just a little bit ago. This kind of got lost on Friday. It kind of got buried, and there's so much news all the time. It's just easy to gloss over some of these things. But we're going to talk about the Republican efforts to get rid of Megan Wolf, who is the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because something happened on Friday that's kind of important, Dom.
Jane, this is very important, and I think it goes to the core of what some of the issues that I have with our Republican friends. Lots of articles on this. I saw the one at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, Molly Beck,
it's
the headline.
It's so good. Molly Beck is so good.
She's awesome. Despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack grounds to oust Megan Wolf.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know. Excuse me? Yeah. Megan,
we've been going around and round and around and round about this, man. People are getting fired up, you know, constitutionality, you know, is she in the position? Can they throw her out? All these things, Jane. And then when it comes down to it, when the rubber has to hit the road, right, and they have to file a legal brief and be honest about it, well, at that point, only then do they say, well, yeah, nope, actually, she's in the job legitimately, and we can't really do anything about it.
And we just did this because we wanted to muck things up. Okay, they didn't necessarily admit that, but they said this effort to oust Megan Wolf was merely symbolic.
Is that what it was?
It was just symbolic, Dominic. as Molly,
it was performative politics.
Yeah,
huh?
it was for no reason at all except to keep their base fired up, thinking that the election was stolen, which we have found time and time and time again, it was not stolen.
And this goes back to remember when she was up for reappointment, and the Dems played it smart. They didn't vote, and so it was 3-0, so Republicans, and they said, well, they didn't have a quorum, right? They needed a majority. They needed 4 out of 6, not 3 out of 6. And even though that math wasn't there, even though it wasn't recognized as legal, quote unquote, the Republicans continued to move forward. Again, a little bit in the piece from Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, back at the time, they could have voted no, they didn't vote no. That would have been a tie vote. But it was unanimous. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. I mean, literally, the words came out of the mouth. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. Well, there's supposed to be 6 people voting. That would be, 50%. That's not 2/3, sir. So the whole thing, obviously ridiculous. And all the bantering and articles and discussions about it at the time, from then until now. And as Molly Beck points out in her fine report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in Monday's filing, though, LeMahieu claimed the opposite, admitting that the commission's 3-0 vote on Wolf did not effectuate an appointment. Wolf is lawfully in her current position as a holdover, and that the Senate has no power to act on an appointment where there is no pending appointment. Now, this is an updated version from what we saw yesterday, Jane. Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
LeMahieu, in a statement on Monday, maintained he had not contradicted his past comments.
No, of course not.
No. The situation has been complicated procedurally, and the situation has changed a number of times. But since June, Senator LeMahieu has issued statements consistent with the filing. I'm not so sure about that, Jane.
Well, and wasn't Robin Voss just on WISN-TV on Upfront on Sunday kind of contradicting the filing that was released on Friday?
Yeah, Beck also points this out. Legislative leaders said in the filing that the Legislature Joint Committee on Legislative Organization has no power to appoint interim administrator while Wolf is holding over, even though Voss on Sunday said the committee should begin the process of replacing her.
For which
what? And Robin Voss knew what was in the filings, right? So he knew it. He gets out there and he's saying this on Sunday that all this is, we should start the process. But when they file the paper, when the rubber hits the road, they have to be honest. They admit they have no power to appoint an interim administrator while Administrator Wolf is holding over.
It's just remarkable to me that you can contradict yourself within a day. And it's just like, yeah, well, this is just how we do business now. Why would your constituents believe anything you say?
That's the great point. And this becomes, politicians lie, the whole thing. And I'm not going to do a both sides of them. I think we're in a different spot right now, my personal opinion. But even if you accept the fact that that's the case, then where's the self-respect for the Republicans and the MAGAs and the GOP? I mean, you have this guy up there, telling you, and it's not just Voss, it's also LeMahieu, it's also Kapinga, right?
Right.
What they're telling you. Oh, we got to do something. She's there illegally, and this is wrong, and fired up. And when it comes down to it, no, that's not the case. And why would you, where's the self-respect? Really? Would you, in a workplace situation, in a relationship situation, when is that ever acceptable? And why is it acceptable in a political situation?
Well, and not to mention all the taxpayer dollars involved in these lawsuits that are pointless, right?
No, right.
It all costs money.
Josh Call filed, right? Josh is the response to Josh Call. He's the Attorney General, State of Wisconsin. Well, he gets paid by the tax dollars, right? Right.
Yeah.
Well, who are the defendants in this case? Well, of course, it's the Republicans, LeMahieu and Voss and Kapinga and these other folks. Well, they have, using either state resources, but probably external resources to pay for attorneys, also taxpayer dollars, right? The whole judiciary system itself. Is a socialist dollars going towards our justice system also. So we pay, and all their I don't know what they're trying to do. I imagine they just want to keep their base. We're funding, we're subsidizing the Republicans, keeping their base fired up on lies. And that's problematic, Jane.
Absolutely. And you make a really good point that all of Wisconsin taxpayers are funding performative politics, right? Because it's just
wasting the court's time.
Yeah, it's just theater. They knew that they did not have standing to oust her or replace her. Oh, let's go ahead and file it anyway. Let's just waste a little more time. Let's drag this out. Let's keep feeding the doubt that our elections are a mess. Our elections are not a mess. Our elections are not rigged. There are not ballots coming in from, where did they say that they were, from Venezuela or whatever? Hugo Chavez? I mean, the loony conspiracies, it's astonishing. And yet, there is a certain part of the electorate that just laps it up.
It is a unhealthy relationship. And I mean this sincerely. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go say, you know, cult deprogramming kind of thing. But if you look to the Republicans and the GOP here in the state of Wisconsin and as your guide to what we should do or what you should do and how you should behave and what you should think as far as politics are concerned and those kinds of things, well, then they're steering you wrong. And if you continue to accept that, even if it's right in front of your face and we're telling you it's in the paper, you can really do a side by side, read the legal document, and then watch what Voss said on Sunday.
Right.
Those things are contradictory. I mean, exactly 100% contradictory. Both of them cannot be true. One of them is a falsehood. One of them is a lie. And I'm betting it's not the one that they filed with a court.
Again, just to reiterate this, and this is from a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for Molly Beck, who does a great job. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate President Chris Kapenga admitting in a new court filing their efforts to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic, and that Wolf is legally in her current position. So it was not, it was for nothing. It was for grins and giggles.
Well, that's what you do when you have absolutely no platform to run on or try to get done. Nothing.
Well, and their policies are not popular, and we've talked about that before as well.
Right.
So people don't like their policies. So instead of changing their policies, they change the way they just make it more difficult for people to vote, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it harder for you to cast your ballot. I don't care if you don't like my policies. Again, stick our fingers in our ears, go la, 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 and keep getting paid and keep getting per diems and keep popping popcorn and life is good.
Other people's money. I mean, what effort? I mean, literally, I mean, the court has nothing else to do. Pardon me. You know, we don't have, as a state, actual problems and actually money in the bank that we can use to solve some of these real problems, real life problems that we have. And they're wandering around doing symbolic, you know, dances to what end? Of course, to keep the base motivated. On your dime, Jane. On your dime, Greg. On your dime, Republicans. They're using you.
Yes.
They're abusing you. They're lying to you, man.
It should
take that to heart.
It should be upsetting to people. People should be, I don't know, not happy about this.
I'm upset for them, Jane.
Oh, and you do a really good upset too, Dominic. All right. We're coming up against the break. You can always chime in. You can text and or call 844-967-2789. If you're watching a live stream, you can also leave a comment there. We will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. All that pressure got you down.
Place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Freeze.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
This morning, Greg Buck.
It's like one of the greatest theme songs that's ever happened, and it's applicable to what we will be talking about soon.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we're talking. We're going to move on to Jim Jordan, but I want to go back to a couple of texts we were talking about Republican leadership in Wisconsin essentially admitting on Friday that their efforts to oust Megan Wolf, who's the commissioner of the or the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, basically had no basis in reality and was just symbolic because they think that's fun, apparently. 844-967-2789 from the 262. Yesterday, Dominic was cussing. No. On the Devil's on the Devil's Advocate show about this issue, I would just like to add a no naughty word to the GOP having no grounds to remove her. And from the 541, if a candidate felt the election process wasn't fair, why would you subject yourself to such a system and not move on to another career? If a person felt the election system is being rigged, why not volunteer as an election worker to ensure that it is fair? And number three, can citizens of Wisconsin file suit against these individuals to force them to pay for the court costs of their self-proclaimed symbolic lawsuit?
Right. I
don't know if we could. Could we sue them?
We can sue anyone we want.
We want our money back.
Yeah.
And if it fails, you know, it's all about the symbolism, right? It doesn't matter if there's legal merit or not. As long as we are providing the right symbolism,
exactly.
That's what really matters.
Of course.
I mean, if they're willing to do everything they're doing right now and say it was symbolic, it was a gesture, it was whatever, then I feel like we are within our rights as Americans and taxpayers and the people funding these operations to say, all right, here's some more symbolism. We're going to sue the pants off of you because you wasted our money. Party of responsibility and always saying things like, well, why can't you just follow a budget? Really?
Yes. Easier with other people's money, Greg.
Yep, they're really good at that. All right, we're going to move on to Ohio Republican Jim Jordan. They may actually hold a vote at noon today, I saw, to see if he will get enough votes to become Speaker of the House. And something that really jumped out to me, Republican Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota, who nominated Jordan for Speaker, he said, essentially, Jordan is the only person who can stop right-wing pro-Trump media from continually crucifying their House majority. So they're picking Jim Jordan so Sean Hannity won't be mean to them.
Right. Wow.
Snowflakes.
Wow.
I know. And the other thing that kind of jumped out at me is, and I saw this on Twitter and I have not been able to verify it yet, but that a producer for Hannity was actually contacting Republican House members to find out how they were going to vote on this. So they could, share it with their audience?
Yeah, there's like a boilerplate letter going around with Mr. Representative XXX. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? Yes, that I mean, so what? Sean Hannity from Fox News is now the whip for the Republicans in the House? I mean, the Republican Party is a disarray.
Well, and just look back to January 6th and the texts that were flying between all of these Fox people and the White House. If when Barack Obama was president, if Rachel Maddow had been texting him on a regular basis, trying to help his campaign, the number of exploding heads would be uncountable.
We got one of those texts that said, hey, Mr. President, nice tan suit. Oh, no!
the drama. Oh, the scandal.
Good old days.
The fancy mustard. Oh, he's a fancy mustard person.
You remember the Tea Party? They were adorable.
Especially the hats.
Oh, yeah.
The hats were special.
The thing about, and I think it was Greg Sargent, I saw it yesterday, he's a columnist at the Washington Post, put out a tweet from some of the comments from the J6 committee about Jim Jordan and what he did and the conversations he had and who he talked to. Of course, Jim Jordan was subpoenaed. He didn't show up.
No.
You know, the head of Judiciary Committee defying a lawful subpoena, now going to be what? Potentially Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency, and he doesn't follow, you know, their own laws, quote unquote.
So, why aren't these people being arrested for that?
I don't get it, Greg. For real, I mean, Jim Jordan was neck deep in all of this. He talked to Trump several times. He talked to Rudy several times that day. He's been out there pushing the stop the steal, the fraud. He's been out there. He's been a main point of that. He's been, I would say, probably on the very short list of some of the biggest supporters of Donald Trump in the Republican caucus right now. And of course, what? It's not McCarthy. right? So not, and then what? What's his name? He bowed out last week.
Oh, Scalise.
Bowed out last week, and now it's down to Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Let alone the sexual abuse stuff that he apparently turned an eye to allegedly when he was a coach in college. I mean, wow, really rising to the top. This is the best the Republicans have to offer. You got to be kidding me. And there's real work that needs to get done. And Jim Jordan's your guy.
But they're not concerned about doing things for their constituents. Again, this is more everything. The Republican Party now is just, it's all symbolism. It's just all symbolic. They don't actually have to accomplish anything. And for anyone who thinks that if Donald Trump, who will likely be the Republican nominee for president, if he loses in 2024, you think Jim Jordan is going to do the right thing? If right. Donald Trump comes out screaming again, saying, it was rigged, I was cheated, I was robbed. What do you think Jim Jordan's going to do?
Oh, I want more Jane impression of Donald Trump. That's what I want right there.
Oh, that wasn't that good.
Oh, but it was enough.
It was enough. All right, we're going to be moving on. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us after we get back from the bottom of the hour news. I hope you will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes!
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Don't be chicken. Hunt and peck your way over to wiscountry.com/chicken to vote on the new name for the WIRI logo. We've narrowed it down to three choices, and we need you to vote for your favorite. It's easy. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken, enter your name and email address, and put the names in order, starting with the one you like best. Voting closes October 26th. Then tune into the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8 on Halloween to find out the winner. Help us name that chicken and keep listening to Wiscountry on 105.5 WIRI.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 39 overnight under overcast skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered showers, lows level off around 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Air and go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my Tuesday co-host, while Kristen is out on maternity leave. And that music, of course, means our guest is the one and only Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And by the way, if you don't know this, the Recombobulation Area is a 10-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning column. That's no small thing, Dan Schaefer.
Hey, well, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, we have done, our scrappy little independent publication has indeed won 10 Milwaukee Press Club awards. So thank you for pointing that out. Well, many people are saying this.
Many people are.
See, I just walk around being like, you guys know how handsome Dan Schaefer is. That's all I do. I mean, sorry, I'll mention the paper more. Sorry.
Well, speaking of your award-winning articles, your recent one is really, really excellent. I know you want a Brewers AmFam Field deal to be done, but as you say in this recent column, this deal ain't it.
This deal is not a home run. I think we have time to get it done right, and I think the priority for state lawmakers right now should be to get this deal done right and not just rush it around the bases and head home for the rest of the session here. I'm going to force so many baseball puns on you today. Greg's loving them, like you see on the video stream.
Dan, I'm here for it.
But as I said in the piece, I think, you know, we should treat this more like a seventh inning stretch than the bottom of the ninth. I think there's room to improve this deal as it goes through the process here. There's going to be a big vote today in a full vote of the state assembly at the session begins at 1 p.m. So that is going to be something to watch, but you know, I had to weigh in on it. And so, yes, like you mentioned, I wrote a column about it. I think the deal as currently constructed is not one that we should support, but I think but I'm not an ideologue on this. I don't think I'm not completely opposed to any stadium funding in any capacity. And I think, you know, if we look at the recent example of the deal to fund Fiserv Forum, and create the Deer District and foster all kinds of development downtown. I think we should be using that as a successful model for how to construct this Brewers deal. And frankly, the Brewers deal is just much, much worse than the one to fund the Bucks. You know, it's more public funding in the Brewers deal total than the total private and public contribution for the Bucks deal. It's just a massive, massive amount of money. And I think it, instead of, you know, wanting to have the type of, you know, transformative impact that the Bucks arena did and wanting to foster development downtown, this one doesn't really look to do that as much. And why Brewers and officials and others backing this deal are standing in the way of wanting to generate economic development around the stadium is just incredibly puzzling to me. And then there's also the piece of the local contribution. You know, this was funded for so many years as you know, the five county stadium tax. And now wealthier counties surrounding Milwaukee County, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, and Racine, they don't have to pay anything anymore in this deal. So I think that should change too. I think there are some room, there are places to improve this deal. But we are, for some reason, rushing this to the finish line, even though there are seven more years on the lease. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, Dan, it seems like the Milwaukee Brewers themselves kind of strike out on this deal. They're only putting in $100 million, and the Bucks ownership group put in, what, almost two and a half, three times that amount.
Yeah, I would say, you know, swing and a miss here from the Brewers ownership.
I changed my mind. I'm over this. I'm so over this.
We got a half hour yet, Craig. You better hang in there. Dan, what is the rush, though? Like you said, we've got this the current deal lasts for another 7 years. So they can prove they can actually do something? What's the rush?
You know, I think there are some requirements within the way the stadium district is constructed. But, you know, as I reported in my column today, there is a piece of the balance sheet within the stadium district that is really not being discussed. They have tens of million dollars in treasury bonds that could provide a short-term fix to address some of the maintenance and upgrades that they need. So even if they're saying, hey, we're cash poor right now, we need to make these upgrades to you know, satisfy the terms of our lease, you know, they could tap into those bonds as well. So I think what I really don't understand is why the urgency to do this now. I really think the priority for state lawmakers right now should be to get this deal done right, not just to get this deal done, because this is going to have impact for decades.
Right.
And I think, you know, cementing this in its current form where it has a lot of problems would be a mistake.
Greg, did you want to?
So I asked, I can't remember if it was J.R. Radcliffe or
Paul Noonan
this, but then this is, I understand if there's not a clear answer on this, but I feel like, could it possibly be that one of the reasons why this is such a stuck in the mud situation is because the Brewers aren't really, like, I feel like when the Bucks came to us with the idea of revamping the Deer District, of giving us this whole new arena, this and better looking downtown area, it also came with this thing of like, we want to play to win, we want a championship, we want to get a good team, we want to get great players, and we want to make this a championship town. And there was excitement and electricity on that. Some people disagreed with the funding, but there was still the idea that the Bucks organization were in it for the long haul with this city. I don't feel like we get that from the Brewers. I don't feel like we have any sort of, because they don't have, like you've talked about having a beer district. There's no mm-hmm. sense of, like, it's not a sense of like, let's see how we can revamp this whole area and let's see if we can bring a ring to Milwaukee after so many decades of not having it. Is that part of the reason? It's just that the Brewers organization is sort of like, can we have our money, please? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the Bucks approached this in such a better way than the Brewers have gone about it. And I think the Brewers have just not had the eye on the transformative impact of this investment. Like, if you're going to spend hundreds of million dollars on something, you should generate some economic development, some change in the immediate footprint of that. And I think, you know, I think it was Rick Schlesinger from the Brewers went on local TV and said they really want to preserve tailgate culture. And I think you can preserve tailgate culture by using, I don't know, 10,000 of the 12,000 parking spots that they have around American Family Field and still, you know, actually generate some economic development for the reason. Like, if the logic of spending this type of money is to generate economic development, why are they standing in the way of that in their immediate footprint? It makes absolutely no sense.
Our guest is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. His latest article is talking about the proposed deal to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. And you're kind of saying, Dan, the deal is okay, but it's close, but no cigar, not yet. And you were just mentioning the parking spaces outside AmFam Field. They have more parking there than they do at Disney World.
Right.
Just wrap your brain around that. That's astonishing to me. And then their refusal, as you said, to even consider developing that into something that will also generate revenue. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and they added something to kind of placate some of those concerns in the latest round of amendments. They added kind of what the city is referring to as a pathway to development, where they're creating a kind of a working group to study what development would look like. That's as far as they've gone on this. They've been very resistant to opening this up. You know, you see in ballparks all over the country, there's a deal, in Las Vegas and Tampa Bay and Kansas City, and they're all talking about creating more around their stadium so it is a destination 365 days a year instead of just the 80-some home games that you might have during the baseball season. So I think that is a big piece of it here too. And I think, you know, I quoted a Democratic Assembly representative in my piece, Evan Goyke, who's an influential member of the caucus, longtime member of the Joint Finance Committee. He wrote in his newsletter to constituents over the weekend that he wanted to get to a yes, but he's a no on this deal. He backed the Fiserv Forum deal. He was one of the, you know, that is a deal that required Democratic votes in order for it to pass, because not every Republican was on board with that deal. And I think much the same dynamics are going to be here as well. Now, I do expect that this deal will pass today in the state assembly, but I think Evan Goyke is right to say that, you know, this deal isn't one. You know, I think he quoted as saying, approach this issue with the hopes of supporting it, but I cannot support it. And I think this is a significantly worse deal than the one to fund Fiserv Forum. And I think the fact that we are not learning from that successful example in recent history is really a frustrating aspect of this.
Well, it sort of, I guess, goes back to what I was just saying, is like, it kind of, I mean, I don't know, as a Brewers fan, as the team, especially this season, there's a lack of vision for the team itself. It seems like there's a lack of vision for the organization too, when there is just, I mean, these are business people. These are business people, and these opportunities will increase the valuation of the team and make them more money. And they're just still simply like, let's give me my money. Let's play some baseball. Boom.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in, you can call, you can text at 844-96-PARTY. John from the Fall says, we've heard over and over the Brewers don't own the stadium they play in. It's owned by the taxpayers. Did anybody ever bother to ask why we don't just raise their rent to pay for the upgrades that they want? That's what landlords do when their tenants want improvements.
They'll probably threaten to leave then.
Yeah, I think there are some details in that lease agreement that would, I might be a little bit off in the exact numbers here, but I think there's a requirement that says that they have to stay in like the top 50% of ballparks in the country for this. So they need to have, and that was in the original legislation. So like, there's some very complicated pieces of this deal, but it is really important to note that the state owns the ballpark, and by doing nothing, I think, you know, I was critical of the people who have said we shouldn't do anything for this deal as well, because doing nothing is not a good option either. We don't want the Brewers to leave. We don't want, you know, American Family Field to sit there empty without its primary tenant. We don't want, you know, you can question the degree to which there is economic development generated by these stadium deals, but we don't want any of that to leave. So I think you need to find a way to get to a workable deal here, and you have so many people in favor of it, you know, why not work to improve it instead of just, you know, taking your ball and going home, I guess.
Well,
right?
Dan, I would mention the Pontiac Silverdome, where the Detroit Lions used to play, is now an Amazon site. So there are other uses and things that can be done. Your piece, you break down some of the funding, $411 million in state funding, $135 million in local funding split between the city and Milwaukee County, and $100 million from the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, throw in maybe a few more dollars from the Brewers, and maybe some development piece. What do you see as the formula to get you, Dan Schaefer, to a yes?
Yeah, I think it's the deer district development or beer district development is one thing. And I think adding a ticket surcharge would that ease the burden on local taxpayers and shift it to the people who actually use the stadium. You know, that is a key piece of the Fiserv Forum deal. I think it's a no-brainer to include it here as well. I think they've talked about adding that on the state Senate side. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition, though, because they talked about that in amendments to the assembly, too.
Well, no matter what happens, it's still going to get signed by Governor Tony Evers. Any sense on where he's at on the current incarnation of this deal?
Yeah, he has signaled that he's going to support it. He said, I think the Wisconsin State Journal quoted him a couple weeks ago that said, anything that comes across my desk, I'm likely to support. So that typical veto threat that we see from the governor as things get negotiated in the legislature. Not exactly here this time around.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to weigh in on the pending Brewers deal, I see you on the phone, and I've got your text lines up as well. We will be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
It's 43 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAU.
Wisconsin, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. My Tuesday co-host from Devil's Advocates, Dominic Salvia. And every Tuesday at 10:30, we get recombobulated with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, talking about your latest column, Dan, about the current Brewers deal and how it could be better. It's just not great yet. So we're taking your calls and your texts at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Marty hung on through the break. Thank you so much, Marty from Milwaukee. Good morning. What do you think about this?
Good morning, all. Thank you so much for taking my call. Just some really important facts I have not heard or read anywhere, and I think they're important. Number one, the stadium is not in the city of Milwaukee. That is number one. People believe that it's in the city. It is not in the city. That sits on VA land. That is federal land set aside by Abraham Lincoln's administration way back in 1860-something, and that land is federal land. On that land, when they got the agreement to build the stadium originally back in 1949, 1950, there was a deed restriction put on the land which requires the ballpark to put up 500 tickets every day, every game, every event for veterans. I do not believe that's ever been done. Also, when the state puts in $411 million, does that not include the city of Milwaukee? Milwaukee is part of Wisconsin. Last I checked, Milwaukee is part of the county, and now Milwaukee is going to pay its own tax. So that, in my mind, that looks like triple taxing the city of Milwaukee. And all these other cities and counties aren't involved in this funding, but they all get to keep their seats on the board, which is an all-white board, usually. It really does not address the inequity that goes on at the stadium. Is that stadium for all the people in the region, or is that just for the, you know, you know what I'm saying? There are no events for African Americans. There are few events for Mexican Americans. There are, this entire stadium is for a certain segment of the population. Yet they come to the city of Milwaukee with 300,000 people of color and ask them to pay for the stadium. This, I'm sorry. I appreciate you listening, but those are some important points that have not been addressed.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely, Marty. Thank you so much. And I think you make an excellent point about the fact that they love sticking it to Milwaukee. They just do. The Republican lawmakers in Madison, Tommy Thompson said it years ago, stick it to Milwaukee. They adopted it then. That has never gone away as far as I can see.
Yeah, this deal definitely falls hardest on I don't know, I guess someone like me who lives in the city of Milwaukee. I'm getting taxed as a city resident and a county resident and a resident in the state of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the suburban counties, I think they can afford it. I think they could afford to contribute a little bit to this deal. And I think using the MMAC's own data from their commission study, which, surprise, said that it was a great idea to fund the ballpark. And you can see a piece on the recombobulation area from Marquette professor Phil Rocco breaking down why that might not actually be the case. But the majority of the people who attend games at Miller Park are from outside of Milwaukee County.
Right.
Again, majority of the people who attend games are from outside.
Like over 60%, if I remember, Dan.
It is. I think it's right around that 60% number. So it is frustrating that the wealthier suburban communities are cut out of this deal. And Milwaukee, and we just had this debate about shared revenue. It was one of the biggest deals of the year.
Yes.
We needed a local sales tax for the city and county to get away from the brink of bankruptcy that the state had pushed us to from blocking local revenue and defunding shared revenue for years and years and years and decades. And as soon as that deal is passed, they come right back to our pockets asking for it. I think that is one of the most distressing and uncomfortable parts of this deal. And I know there are a couple things that they added and amendments that are going to be good for the city and county in the long term. And those, again, there are pieces of this deal that are good. A change in the sales tax collection, the way they collect sales taxes through the Department of Revenue, giving ultimately more funding to the city and the county in the long term, that's a really good thing. But the fact that it only falls on Milwaukee County is not a good thing.
And I want the Brewers to kick in more. That was part of the Fiserv deal. I want those guys who can sell their 20,000 square foot mansion to California for $73 million to have to kick in a little more. The third villa in France is just going to have to wait. 844-967-2789. Price from Texas has been waiting. Good morning, Price.
Good morning. I just want to kind of bring up to kind of something else that's really in Dan's wheelhouse, too, is down here we've got the FC Dallas soccer team, which has even fewer games in Miller Park, County Stadium, Ampam, whatever. And right across the street from it is just all industrial, but then plopped right in the middle is just a giant apartment complex. And that those parking lots, if you build that housing, people are going to move into that housing. It's not going to sit there vacant. It's going to be a money maker. So that area there that no one parks in, even when the game was full for the playoffs, there were still no cars parked there. Turn that into housing, develop it, put some small grocery store or something like that there. I mean, that would be, just develop that area and you'll see it boom. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Bryce. You can always check in at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. State funding of AmFam Field should be tied to home runs. For every home, for every home run by the Brewers, the state tosses in $1,000. Come on. Performance-based, right?
Yeah.
Performance-based payment.
It's more creative than the approach they're bringing to this. I mean, come on. You gotta have some creativity in these deals. And Jane, I was making a bet here on when you would bring up that California mansion. I had it in our first segment. So you beat the over-under there for me.
It makes me crazy, Dan. And you're the one who wrote the article that brought that to my attention. That drives me cuckoo. It really does.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
That we just accept this and it's fine.
Yeah.
That I don't understand our willingness to say, you're right, rich person, you should keep all your money. And we'll just give you everything that you want. Because you're the job creators. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, it's a real foul ball there, right?
Oh!
Greg's over here. Greg's done it. I'm going to know Greg as much as possible while I can.
Dan Schaefer from
I see that 11th award going away.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us every Tuesday at 10:30. Thank you so very much, Dan. Really appreciate you. Read his column on this. It's fantastic, and it's longer than any college paper I have ever written. But check it out. Dan Schaefer, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
We will be back after the top of the hour news to talk about daylight saving time. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us too in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's still not clear who's responsible for a horrific attack in Gaza yesterday. CBS's Charlie Daggett says the death toll is almost unimaginably high.
Cell phone footage captured the moment an explosion turned an overcrowded hospital in Gaza into a massive fireball. Hundreds are thought to have been killed in what might be Gaza's worst single loss of life yet.
Hamas is blaming Israel for the attack, but Israel says Islamic Jihad is responsible. Israel Defense Forces spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
According to our intelligence, Hamas checked the reports, understood it was an Islamic